Good afternoon. My name is LaVarne Williams. This is the Pacifica Foundation Finance Committee meeting for December the 10th, 2007. We have on the call our secretary of the committee, who is Terry Goodman. Again, I'd like to welcome everyone who is listening at this time. And at this time, we will ask the secretary, Terry Goodman, to call the roll.
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Rudy Bediako. Absent. Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Terry Goodman is here. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Mike Martin. Absent. Sandra Rollein. Sandra Rollein.
Present.
Thank you. Bertolt Reimers. Absent. LaVarne Williams.
Present.
We have quorum.
Thank you very much. I sent out an agenda. First, let me apologize. For some reason, I was thinking the meeting was on Thursday. So Terry's reminder got me on track, though. And so I sent out an agenda. It's basically very simple, and I can go over it briefly. Approval of minutes, and we have a list of minutes that Terry had sent to be approved, and those are available on our Yahoo groups in case you haven't looked at them or haven't had a chance to review them. The next item on the agenda is scheduling the next meeting. The fourth item is the CFO report, and inside that there are a number of items, including just briefly looking at a summary of what's happening with our year-to-date expenses, and we have gone over fund drive lengths to see if there are any updates on that. We were looking at the WBAI recovery plan, any other updates on PNB motions, our finance-related motions approved by the PNB, any motions referred to the Finance Committee. We're looking at national office mail drops. We'd ask that that be put on the agenda. I also sent that out with the agenda. The fifth item is Financial Policies and Procedures Manual. The sixth is new business. We had a couple of items that we carried over. They included annual membership fees and staffing reductions and adjournment. So at this time, would like to entertain any updates, revisions, deletions, additions to the agenda.
Chair, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm just concerned that that list is longer than we're going to get to, and I'd like us to make a conscious decision rather than a default decision about the priorities. And I guess the main one is, you know, at some point we've got these continuing resolutions on budget. Where in our agenda are we advancing those to, you know, the point where we can put a budget before the PMB that it can pass?
Okay, so you want that as on the agenda, right? Are you asking me now?
It's inside one of the existing items, I assume, right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
What is it inside of?
4D? Well, I'm sorry?
Would that be 4D?
Yes.
See, I'm driving, so I'm not seeing it. I think those things are crucial. What do people think about moving that?
Okay, so we can move that.
Should we get there?
Okay, that's within the CFO report, which comes up next once we approve the minutes and determine the next meeting. So that would be next. And we can move that up to the to make that 4A instead of part of 4D.
Terry?
Okay.
Brian?
Brian?
I think Terry was ahead of me.
Terry?
Yeah, I'd like to strike February 4, 2005 partial minutes from what will be moved to approve.
Okay.
I'll try to finish those up by listening. I'll suggest striking 4B fund drive length because I think we disposed of that well enough at our last meeting.
Okay.
I'll move to strike item 5, financial policies and procedures manual, because I think we disposed of that at the last meeting.
Okay. I think, I'm not sure if we have Lonnie, well, not exactly, because Lonnie was supposed to send out the final package, and then after then we were going to, because I believe there was a request to table until we actually, this should be very simple.
That's right.
I think there was one. Yeah.
And I'd like to change the time allotment for the items on new business to 10 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Because I will have no objection to postponing consideration if I'm allowed to read those motions into the minutes.
Okay.
Just
a second, Brian.
I think Terry hit all of them except I'd like to strike number 4, CII, WBAI National Development Director. We disposed of that at our last meeting.
Okay. One of the committee members who's not on the call now had asked this afternoon when we had a discussion, asked to discuss that again, but the person isn't here, so we'll just move forward.
We moved to postpone it indefinitely.
I know we did, but this person wanted to chat about it again. But this is fine. We'll go with this. Anything else? Okay, Lonnie?
This is Dave. Oh, sorry. After
okay.
Lonnie.
Lonnie?
Yeah, Madam Chair, on item 4, I don't have 60 minutes. I did my CFO report last time around. I did cover income and expenses. We did fund drives. We did go over the WBI recovery plan and created the work group. I certainly would like to report back on the work group. We did have meetings.
Exactly.
The rest, we did cover D, National Office Mail Drops, and I had referred to the CFO report where the mail drops for the last 3 years are included. The Financial Policies and Procedures Manual, we had said that we would send it out. I'd send it out, and I did.
Okay.
I did send that out. And so I would be moved to strike. We keep that item, but if people don't have it, I certainly would like to make sure they do have it.
Because we had a motion.
Send me a copy of it, Lonnie, because I didn't get whatever you sent.
Okay, let me see if I can take care of that. So I don't need 60 minutes
on
the agenda.
Okay, how many minutes do you need?
I'm just going to do 20 because we covered most of this stuff last meeting.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
This is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
I wasn't at the last meeting, but I think at the one before we talked about trying to get information on all the bank accounts that exist throughout the network and the signing authority and other authorities attached to each one. And I was told that you were going to deal with that, Lamar, in the meeting with Nicole and Lonnie. Do you report back on that, or where are we on it? Where would it go in the agenda?
Okay, we can just make that as part of motions or finance-related motions, not necessarily approved, but finance motions, finance-related issues. So I can do a report back on that. Or just add to our discussion, did we? Our discussion with the executive director, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just add that.
I missed that because my phone cut out. I'll assume it's in the agenda somewhere.
Well, and Lonnie's report back, I mean, I can add anything to it. But, yeah, basically, we can just add that to our discussion with the ED. And you're saying the National Office mail drops, I actually attached that to the agenda because I think some people said they really had not seen the CFO report. So I added that. So in case there would be any discussions, but that should be brief. And the issue that you have talked about, Dave, we'll add that.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Our secretary, Mr. Goodman, do you have the new agenda?
Yes, so I'll move to approve it as amended.
Okay. Does anyone need to have it reread? Thank you. there's a motion to approve the agenda. Are there any objections?
None.
I hear none. Thank you. So moved. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. So I'll turn that over to Mr. Goodman.
Yes. These minutes have all been posted in our group, and some of them I send out via email. I'm moving approval. Where did that go? Of the minutes of December 22nd, 2003, January 9th, 2004, April 21st, 2004, September 10th, 2004, December 17th, 2004, December 28th, 2004, August 2nd, 2005, and our last meeting, November 29th, 2007.
Can
point,
I ask a
point of information?
Sure. Dave.
Given that this body, these people, those of us on the call, at least probably a majority of us weren't members in many of those, are we, what is, could you explain to me whether we're really authorized to approve minutes that we weren't party to?
Yes.
Terry, Mr. Goodman.
We're a continuing committee, so we have authority to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Many people will abstain from
yes.
approving minutes for meetings that they did not attend. But there's certainly the possibility of members having listened to the audio and so being in a position to confirm that the draft minutes reflect what actually occurred.
And they, when they're approved, they're listed on there as the date of approval, so anybody could see if there might be a reason to want to go back and look.
Exactly.
And can I ask one other question? When once these are approved, you post them on the Foundation's website so they're publicly available?
I am now able to do that, although it takes some time to post each one because they need reformatting. But that will be happening.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to ask a question. Does everyone have their Yahoo password, and everyone can go in and look at these if they need to, or does anyone need any help or direction in order to do that? Okay, everyone's on board. Okay, good.
I did have a question about the minutes that from the last meeting that I missed.
Okay, please. Is this Jane?
Yeah, sorry,
okay.
This is Jane. Yeah, I saw in those minutes from the meeting that I missed that in Lonnie's report it indicated that WPFW is going to have to move by November, and I wondered if there was a year attached to that. I thought that there was a couple years. I just wondered if that was a correct statement as to what Lonnie reported regarding WPFW move time.
Lenny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. My understanding is by November of next year. Or is it, it's 08?
That's your understanding? Okay. I did not realize there was anything that imminent.
Yeah, they sold the building. And it's not likely they're going to extend the lease to the station. And the plan is to put in condos, and apparently they got permits to do that. So that's why the urgency of looking at funds for any projected move.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I believe we have a motion. To approve the minutes. Are there any objections to the approval of these minutes? I hear none. So moved. I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Okay. I think actually I...
Just a minute. Just a minute.
Pacifica Radio, where minutes take hours.
This is Brian. I'd just like to be recorded as an abstention on the...
Okay. I expected that.
Jane as well.
Okay.
Lonnie, too.
I'm sorry. I had to step away for a second. We entertain the motion to approve the minutes, and were there any objections? None.
Three
so
abstentions.
Moved. I'm sorry, Terry?
Three abstentions.
Okay. All right. Okay, are we ready to move the agenda?
Okay.
The next item is the next meeting. I had scheduled a meeting or set up a meeting for the 19th, I believe, the Thursday. And currently there's a governance committee, so we need to confirm whether that meeting will take place or not. But at the same time, 8:30. And one of the, and the reasons, of course, is to our report back on the WBAI work group will be one of the issues that we need to discuss. Okay. Do we have any discussion?
Well, this is Dave. So yes. I think the PNB meeting, I don't think there'll be a PNB meeting between that date and the end of the year at which we'll be able to act on anything. And I'm just wondering, given the way meetings are stacking up, whether it just might make sense to wait until the beginning of January and do it then or not. The meetings are coming so fast, it's just hard to deal with it. And if we're not having PNB meeting until where we'd have a finance committee report until, well, let's see, wait a second. Today is the date?
The 10th.
Monday the 10th. So we're scheduling a PNB meeting for the 19th.
I thought we had one for Sunday.
Pardon me?
And I think scheduled for the Wednesday. Wait a minute. I'm looking at
Wednesday, right. Isn't that the 19th?
Oh, well, I'm looking at Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, Thursday. Okay, so it's the day after.
The
20th. We're not going to have a chance. So we won't have another public teleconference at which we could act on the recommendations for at least a couple weeks after that. I'm almost certain we're not going to meet between then and the end of the year. So I think we should either do it beforehand, which would be murderous, or after the new year, just to give us a little bit of a respite. What do other people think?
Well, let me just explain why we had the 9th, why I put the 20th, or whatever date the Thursday is that we are meeting weekly with our WBI work group. So any items that we might need to move, I think we should go ahead and do that since we have the time to get it done. And then, you know, and that could just lie, you know, that until the beginning of the year, because at the beginning of the year, there may be a lot of meetings and it'll become fast and furious, and I'd rather have it done and waiting for us versus trying to schedule something in that first week, because there are a number of actions or meetings that we're trying to get done for. And Delaney, we can go over this with our BAI work group. There are a number of meetings that are trying to get scheduled for the first week in January at BAI. So I think we need to meet and review the actions that come out of the work group, which is apart from the, well, finally we can be presented to the PNB.
Well, we have a finance committee set up for the 8th of January.
Let me get on the calendar again. Go ahead.
Well, if we do have that meeting set up, then
we do.
That could give us a chance for two meetings in January. One on the 8th, or one on the, say, the 15th?
Archive on the 15th.
Archive on the 15th. Anything on the 16th?
No.
Let's do the 8th and the 16th, and we could meet to do the archive work as we had planned next week, and send it out by email if there's any update. But then I would be seriously working on the budget between that and the 8th.
So you're saying that, so the 20th, we want to just move the next one to the, I mean, that's fine with me. But
I think this next week or two might be really crap. I know I'm in D.C. and.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's the week after.
Yeah.
Not next week.
But all the stuff that didn't get done this week will pile up next week. Right before.
Okay. So we want the 17th, or the Thursday, or the Wednesday?
How about the 8th and the 17th?
Okay, yeah. The 17th is the Thursday. Okay, we already have the 8th.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just put it in right now.
Terry?
Terry?
I'd like to request a closed session on the 8th for the purpose of approving closed session minutes.
Okay.
January the 8th?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay.
then the next is, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm scheduling the meeting, so go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, Lonnie, the 16th is a Wednesday. Did you want the 16th, or did you want Wednesday? I mean, did you want Thursday?
So Thursday the 17th. The 18th
okay.
The 17th?
Thursday the 17th, okay.
Yeah.
8 or 8:30?
8:30.
8:30, I agree.
Okay.
My logs on. Of course, it disappeared, and I never remember it. Okay. All right. So our next meeting would be January the 8th at 8:30. We have with a closed session, and then the following meeting we have for the 17th.
Yeah, and the 8th will be closed and open.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So now, are we ready to move the agenda? Good. Let's go to the CFO report. Lonnie, are we prepared?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm sitting here. Yeah, I got my navel here. I did do a report on how we looked at the September 30th, 2007. I won't go over that depressing scenario again. The bottom line is that we will break even and may have a deficit, depending on how the auditors handle certain items. One of them is a $250,000 grant. We got a grant from CTB to set up three transmitters and three stations, and that was $250,000, $85,000 each. If they rule that a 2008 item, then we have anywhere from, that whole grant would be a $255,000 deficit, Red Ink. If they put it in 07, then we would have a $255,000. We have probably a break-even situation. But the major point to be made is that 07 was a bad year. I think I made that point last time. And as the auditors were here all last week, and we were going over what had transpired during the year, and it looks like we will have a slight deficit this year, FY07. Stations had a number of issues. I won't go into them. And I did a fairly complete report last time. Bad news for 08 even, and I went over that, was that even as we started out the budget for 08, we lost CPP money, $159,000. We are overspent on our elections. The longer the elections go, the more expensive they are. Right now, it's $240,000. Our budget was $200,000. We had certain legal issues that came up during 07. I won't go into those. But they will be around in 08 as well. And I think one or two might be added to it. So all of those are fired for 07 to create.
Just a second, please. Who came on? Garuti?
Yes, it's me.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Welcome aboard. Lonnie's given his report. I'm sorry, Lonnie, if you can continue.
Yeah, I'll make it short. All of those conspired to make the 07 a bad year. 08 started out looking good. We were budgeting at $1 million level, but it right away, the budget was out of date because of the CPP situation and the legal and the rest of it and the election. So we're struggling to go back. We have to go back to the budgets now. And I'm asking stations to account for the reduced funds by reducing their budgets in some area where feasible. So we're in the middle of that process of rebudgeting. The PRA budget has some issues in it. Remember, they only did the drywall successful. They're not sure they want to do a second drive in April, and therefore they'll have to make up the funds that drive would have provided. They're not sure that, assuming that the stations... they're not sure the stations want to do a second on-air drive, so it creates a huge hole in their budget. 07 is done for, and the auditors report out in January. So that is behind us. We're now in 08. out of the way look. Well, we lost money before 2 months that have gone by in this period. So I'm having to, next week I'll have two or three things ready. One is the preliminary audit report, which I already given one. It hasn't changed. It's gotten worse, if anything. And then I will do October and November as a part of my normal report, and I'll send it out. It's always a little late because you don't know what September is, or some of these closing balances. You don't know what the opening balances are, and that's what the auditors were working on last week. If I can, I'll move away from budget issues. We did fund drive links. Most of you, I gave out the fund drive figures last week. Well, what can you say about the fund drives? I would say that the fund drives did better than it could have been a lot worse. But we had T missed by about 27,000. Of course, if that's changed, folks can let me know. WBI has booked 817,000 on a goal of 850. But they have some other monies coming through, and we'll see if those hit the bank. It takes a while for those funds to come through. KPFA, METCO, might have exceeded a little bit. KPFK, METCO. WPFW met their goal more or less, although for all stations, the number of days that it takes continues to creep upward. And that is something we've all identified as an issue. Yes, I went over the WBI recovery plan, which is there for folks to read, and we took questions on it. What I'd like to do, if it's okay, Devon, is to move right on to the WBI work group report.
Yes.
Because that is something we have been working on for the last week. The last meeting, we decided, well, we need a WBI work group that would look at the issues at WBI, try to bring together people who could bring information expertise to bear on identified issues. Well, that work was done. We now have a work group on WBI consisting of John Kriegler, our FCC attorney, because we identified that the exposure for WBI in terms of some outstanding potential violations was there. We needed to work with our FCC attorney to see what we could do to prevent it. The outcome of that with him on our working in our group is he's going to set up some training at WBAI so as to avoid some of the on-air violations that can be very, very expensive. And we're planning to do something like that, I think, in the first week of January. We identified that there's a crisis at WBAI, and we have to treat it as a crisis. And our overall assessment is that we need a 90-day plan. So the timeline we're working with is 90 days. We're interested in what can be done with working with the station personnel that can be effective in 90 days. That's the challenge we set ourselves. Why 90 days? Because in April, the station may very well have a payroll problem. They're not able to make payroll. So we need, our sense was we needed to act right now. On the group is John Kriegler, the FCC attorney, LaVarne, treasurer, myself, Phil Asageda as a fundraising person, Robert Scott Adams, of course, Bernard as Bernard White as PD, and who am I missing?
Baruti.
Oh yeah, Baruti. Of course. We had a meeting last week and we met again today. If I can, anybody can chime in, and I can. We can talk about just what the basic outlines and our assessment of that situation is right now. And we identified 5-6 areas that we felt were critical areas. One was fundraising, and Phil Asageda is going to work with the station in its fundraising concerns. We have a new person taking over the fulfillment department. We do have a new fulfillment house. The idea is to take some of the fulfillment in terms of premiums out of the station context and have it be done out of house, working with the fulfillment house. We've been working with getting a quote from that fulfillment house and looking to see how efficiencies could be realized that way. I did the costing out on it, and it looks like we could do a mix and match situation, have the fulfillment house do some of that work and keep some of it in-house to save money. And the fulfillment people will be giving their final quote tomorrow. The other area we identified was legal as an exposure for the station. And we wanted to invite Dan Siegel on a pro bono basis onto our next call to look at what the legal exposures might be so we have some idea of the dollar cost. We had identified operations, staffing, and management as areas to look at. And we did talk to Bernard and to Robert Scott Adams about how an external nonprofit consulting group could work with management and looking toward coming up with some operational audit procedures around staffing, around operations, around management. And we have started the process of contacting people at Compass Point, and a fellow there was recommended to us. We should make our first contact with him tomorrow. Broody identified a company in New York that a nonprofit connection, which we might identify. We're going to begin the calls and see what's possible there. The other area was programming, identified as critical for the station's ability to be self-sustaining. Bernard White went over some ideas around what he thought, and Robert, he and Robert were working together on changes in programming that might result in building new audience for the station, and also in terms of building revenue as a result. Some of you heard before, but on Monday they will produce for us something in the order of a grid of what the changes might be, and we're all operating within a 90-day frame. Keep in mind, everything is 90 days. And so they will, on Monday, send along to us this work group, their before and after grid, so we can have a sense of not only where the changes will occur, their magnitude, and what the shows might be looking like. They're going to market it as a new WBI and have a PR campaign that will be concurrent with the changes in the grid. They're looking at a survey, questionnaire to go out to listeners, maybe on a random sample of 500 or 1,000, whatever number seems right, to see what listeners think and what their issues are with the station and what their issues are around programming. Basically the programming changes, as he described them, were to move the grid to a more interactive with people, with reducing the talking heads, moving the grid away from just playing music and putting in some shows that will be more attractive to young people. I mentioned that people like Jay-Z and P. Diddy. So we'll see what they come up with. That's Robert Bernard. We'll work on that. What else in the work group? Let's see. Anything else that I'm missing? We wanted to look at having Dominga come to WBAI to work on some HR issues as well as having John Kriegler do a training around FCC on-air issues as well as a repeat of what he did for other stations around Payola and Plugola, and plan to spend a day at the station getting that done. So that's a quick summary on the work group. Anything that I'm missing, anybody?
Yeah, this is Garuti.
There was nothing directly work group related, but I did want, I guess, the finance committee, if we could revisit the suggestion that came out in terms of having a fund developing a full-time person at the station and coming and working out the financing for something like that. So, I mean, I suggested that at the tail end of the meeting. It's something that I would like to get back on the table for this evening. But that's essentially it.
Lionel, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I already did mention it today, and he knew that, but somehow that was relating to him that there may be opposition to a fund development person that would be funded with monies from stations, which was the original proposal. And the resolution was to bring it up again tonight to see how people felt, especially in the context of the recovery ideas that, that were, had been discussed this afternoon, or to see if there was another version or way of getting that done, which is to say, yeah, most nations do have some sort of fund development support. WBAI does not. And the question is, will the station be able to absorb the services of a fund development person in a timely way such that the proceeds from that person's activities are greater than the cost of that person? And the other question is, how will it be financed? And as we all know, there was some opposition to having it be financed. With the original idea of having the stations make, provide, you know, some percentage of that support. So that's it. That's where we are with it now. And I suggest that we take it as a separate item and that we finish this, and then I'll be done. And then we can see if we want to take it up. Almost finished with my report.
And one other thing, Lonnie?
Hmm?
Oh, can I say one thing before Dave speaks, too?
Sure.
One other thing, I'm always reminded by the staff members that I encounter, that is there a possibility? I mean, we seem to have we have representation. This is as it relates to our working group. Staff members are reminding me that there doesn't seem to be any representation. Now that management is involved in our working group, is it possible that we could work out a way to get some staff representation? Maybe one or two people from one unpaid or one paid and one paid staff part of that formation.
My response is fine. Lavarne,
no, that's fine. I mean, if they want to select one or two, I would probably two people. Their issues on in terms of how the alignment are the split. But yeah, you know, two people would be great. Would be fine.
Okay.
The issue also is that I would think that, you know, all the things that are being discussed, a lot of things are very would not be, you know, could not be disclosed at this time. A lot of the stuff that's being discussed, particularly when you're looking at a crisis situation, and it could involve personnel. So, you know, it just have to be, you know, I don't know, an LSB staff person or whomever. But again, a lot of things that are discussed are very confidential, both to the health of the foundation and to both WBAI. So that's just one thing, you know, in terms of, you know, the people, I guess an LSB person would work. I don't know.
Who's Dave?
Yes, and then Sandra.
Thank you.
A couple things. One is, we had passed, I guess the PMB passed a motion that was put forward by Lisa Davis calling for there to be a 5% across the board. I don't remember exactly, but the idea was everybody gets the same percentage cut and there's not cuts being made to specific positions. Do you guys have the text of that motion, and is it affecting what you're doing, and is it being implemented? What's happening on that front? And then the other question is really, how are there expenses associated with staff reductions that we're going to have to eat, and who will eat them if they don't have the money? And just as while we're talking about that, as an aside, I want to remind people that I do think in the long run we should have a fund that all stations contribute to, which is a severance fund, because the station that needs to do that, if there are severance costs, never has the money available because they always wait till the last minute. So, but let's leave that for a later time. If you could talk about where are there going to be some severance expenses, where are they going to come from, and what is in development in terms of the way cuts are going to be distributed. Well,
can you not talk about it?
Other than the motion that it's already, this is LaVarne, other than the motion that's already been passed about the 5% cut that it's not been implemented, there's really nothing we can talk, or I can talk about it this time. Lonnie, you might have more to say.
You know, the board did pass another motion asking that the management go through the process of consulting with the unpaid staff. That's effectively postpone implementation of the 5%.
I see. Has that happened at least?
Pardon me?
Has that at least happened?
The consult meeting has been set up as far as I know with the unpaid staff. And then after that has been accomplished, if there are new ideas about how the station can save money, they would be, you know, be implemented or brought up and integrated into the budget. Well, there won't be severance costs at this point with a salary reduction agreement. There won't be severances. So the layoffs are not planned, merely salary reductions. So with salary reductions, you don't incur severance. You don't incur payouts for things like vacation. So there's no financial implication that goes beyond the 5% cuts themselves, unless the station decides to do layoffs. But at this point, I'm not aware of it. The cuts do affect everybody across the board, no exception. So those are three issues.
And does 5% get you where you need to be with respect to the numbers?
Well, no, not by itself. But, you know, there was a whole package of items, expense reductions, and the salary reductions is merely one of them. They'll save the station $60,000. And there's some other things that they were doing as well, you know, the fulfillment, increasing the fulfillment rate, which I did report on already what they're doing in that area. The idea was to have a fund development person, which we took out because didn't have the expense support, didn't have the revenue to do it. And Brudy's trying to reintroduce that. All those things are part of the expense reductions, and the other parts of it, of course, were attempts to look at revenue. The other parts that we're doing at my WBI recovery plan were looking at how high expenses surrounding occupancy could be reduced over a longer term, and looked at getting a real estate loan from Chase Manhattan. They are interested, believe it or not, in working with around a real estate loan. Probably not only the purchase of a building, but the cost of moving. The municipal bond thing is, they are interested, of course, in moving on to the holidays and the things slow down and in the city. They are offering to the station a line of credit. We haven't accepted yet, but I asked them, you know, I asked for all those things, and they are giving me answers. And yes, we're interested in line of credit. Let us know if you want to do it. They are. Those are. You know, just things you want to have explored in case the worst happens. You at least know what's possible for that station. We looked at moving out of there, trying to break the lease. The insurance team is not interested in breaking the lease. That does not mean it can't be broken. It just means that they're not interested in not even returning phone calls on it. But that doesn't mean you can't get an attorney to break the lease. You can do that, it's possible. Of course, they'll ask for a buyout, and they'll start by demanding a full buyout, and then you're in negotiations, and maybe you get out of there with half a buyout, and that can be part of a loan package. So there are lots of ways to do it, and that's all. That's sort of most of the stuff I put in that CFO. WBI recovery plan, but most of it is still moving. It didn't go away. The issue is that the station doesn't have time to implement some of the longer-term items because we need a 90-day plan, and that's sort of what we are focused on at this point.
Jane Gatewood.
Can I get on the stack, too?
Yes. I'm sorry, who was next?
That was
Sandra.
Sandra and Ben Baruti.
Yeah, I'm impressed at the work that this working group has done and the ideas that you're coming up with to try to salvage WBAI. The surveying of the listener members, programmers, staff, whatnot. My question is that survey intended to be a mail-out? And my suggestion would be that here in Houston we have used a company called Zoomerang. It's an online survey service, and it's we paid $99, and you get, I believe, 90 days. You can do unlimited surveys. You can do surveys to a target specific markets or groups of people or whatnot, and it's a really neat service, and I would like to suggest that as opposed to incurring the cost of a mail-out survey to however many listener members, staff, programmers, whatever, that you check into the Zoomerang services because it really is very neat service, and our program council is using it. We've used it in the past to survey staff and listeners and different people regarding management and, well, general manager and program director reviews and whatnot. So has any been decided on how that survey is to be implemented?
Oh, we haven't decided. We discussed a couple of things, but we were thinking mail-out. This is a good alternative. Is that Zoomerang?
Zoomerang. Mm-hmm.
Like boomerang.
Like boomerang and Zoomerang. Okay, great. Are they...
Really, really neat service, and I'd never heard of it before, but it's worked out very well. And for $99, I mean, you can't beat that when it comes to a mail-out of several thousand dollars, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the reference.
I will get with my friends here at KPFT and get you necessary information for contacting them.
Oh, that'd be great.
And cool. You can just Google online. I just Googled it, and it's Boomerang. So are all the surveys online, or like you said, there are options, like in terms of mail-out versus online?
Well, from what I understand, we've only utilized the online service.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to be the most cost-effective and efficient.
Yes. Okay, this is great. Yeah, because there was, in fact, a long discussion. I think we spent more time discussing the other items in terms of actions came through really quick. But the survey was, like, lengthy in terms of discussions. And I think that in terms of using this service, you know, working that way, I think that will eliminate a lot of the issues with surveys. I mean, it's like, you know, I think people perceive there's this long, drawn-out process getting this information in. But if they can see that it's quick, it's effective, and I think that that will eliminate some of the issues that were raised today. So this is great. Okay. And next was Rudy.
Yes. Just a quick thing on the survey. The only thing is the audience, if you don't have the people's email addresses or, you know, in terms of our listening audience, not all of them may be online. So that's the only part I'm a little concerned about in terms of online service. I mean, it's great for me because I'm online, but I just would be a little concerned about that segment of our audience that may not be online. We may not have that information for. I mean, if we were trying to tap into, let's say, people whose memberships have lapsed, which I think would probably be one of the people that we would want to focus on.
This is great. The other issue.
One other thing, LaVon. I just wanted to comment on Dave's question about the 5% across the board. One of the things that you have to keep in mind is that the budget. The downside is that the budget included that 5% going into effect November 1st. So. The delays that we're encountering are hurting us because we're not achieving those cost savings until that 5% is put in place. So I'm hoping that everything is being done to expedite whatever needs to be expedited that will allow us to compete because that just makes the fiscal situation worse, this particular delay.
Here's some paper stuff, man.
Just
okay, whatever. Well, you know, I think that part of the thing is very difficult to set salaries right in the middle of the holidays. Feels like screws, looks like screws, walks like screws. So generally, if you don't get it done in October, November, it's very hard to do it in December. So you end up with a January situation.
But we can't do January because don't you need 30 days?
No, you need the first step is consultation. And he's done it with a paid staff, but that motion that came through from the board required unpaid staff. And that's the process that they're in right now, as far as I know, setting up meetings with the unpaid staff. Yeah, I'm setting up meetings with the unpaid staff on programming as well, you know. Everything is a function of consultation, and so it takes more time. Getting 200 programmers together is not going to be exactly easy, and whether it's a small meeting around, you know, this issue of salary or a larger meeting around programming, I'm getting the sense that it's low, difficult getting all these people together, especially during a holiday with all the travel and the variation in schedules that happen during these holidays. So, we shall see. But I was happy with the work group's work today. I thought we took some steps, got some information about what people were contemplating, what people were doing. And we have some deadlines and then some products. If we can produce grid, grid changes and can produce training, and we can produce change in the fulfillment process, and can keep in mind and keep to a 90-day schedule where we can avoid a payroll crisis in April, that's not the end of the step, but it is the first step. And we won't be silent. We'll still be working at it between now and April, but I do think the group worked very well together and got a lot done. And, gosh, I think we've been doing it a week. So I'm encouraged, and we shall see.
Okay, this is Lavorne. Is someone else need to speak? One of the things that I think Rudy had touched on this before in terms of weekly or reports that were part of the motion. So one report, I don't know if it was spelled out exactly, that at least on a monthly basis, there should be a report on the cash position of WBAI. So at the end of November, we should know that there should be a report on that. I mean, yeah, I know you should get it weekly or even daily, but report out from the interim GM and the business manager on the cash position of BAI. So is that something that we can do?
I can back that up.
Okay, because that will allow us to know exactly, because the other thing is that there's a fund drive. It's good to have these discussions of these work groups because I understand there's a fund drive that begins in January. So, in terms of, we need to see, the expectations there, we know what the cash position is now and also at the end of December as we go into January. Particularly with the last fund drive and the fact that there's been no premiums have been mailed out except maybe some of the in-house premiums have been mailed out. So the point is that definitely will impact your next fund drive, whether the person has received their premium from the prior one. And the drive begins January the 9th.
Can I have a follow-up on that?
Please.
Lonnie, Phil thought that he might hear from one of the entities that was being considered for the outsourcing of the of the premiums management. I know I came on the call late. Did was that mentioned? Has he heard anything yet? Or?
No, it was. He'll be in tomorrow though.
Okay.
And we were asking for some reduction in certain items, and she was going back to check to see if that's going to be possible. But we have a pretty good idea what those costs might be because we've done a preliminary costing. We did that last week. But they will come back with some cost reductions that we had asked for tomorrow. And when that happens, we're off and rolling because we think that the sooner we can get premiums out using a fulfillment company, the better. That translates to more revenue rather than less because as people get satisfied with the turnaround time, presumably they redeem those pledges or they are more open to a follow-on pledge drive in January. So, yeah, we will know tomorrow.
This is Lavorne again. The question I had in this discussion was exactly, change and just changing the in terms of who sends out the premiums. There have to be other changes too, and if they were going to look at, how you actually get the premiums to send out that can be delivered to the sourcing or to the house, to the outside house for premium mailing. So, and they really need to look at, what you can do and how that works, because that's really a great part of premiums is having those, like you said, after the fund drive, or if you have some premiums that you have in-house that you can mail before then. So, you really need to look at, I just suggest that they really need to look at that process too, because, if you're getting them at the same time and it's like 6 weeks out, that's not, whether you send them in-house or outsourced, it's not going to make that much difference. So I just ask that they look at that process.
Every step in the process matters.
Yes, yes. Okay. So, is there more?
No, that's... Yeah, I have a little... I have one other follow-on question to something Lonnie said about lines of credit. And what are the procedures involved, and what is the oversight involved if we ever are to go down that road?
Well, it would be, if we were to use a line of credit, I'd have to first come to the Finance Committee and to the Board for approval before it could be implemented.
Great.
That's the first step, and that's where we're trying to gain control.
Okay. I just want to be sure that that's part of it. And I will say that on any of these things, I feel, and this goes for the development director too, you know, when you go down that road, you have to have a very clear plan of how you're going to use the resources. And so also with respect to getting a development person in, until and unless the management has a clear plan of, like, where we're going, it's very hard for a development person to then get money for, you know, to support where we're going. So I just hope that we're doing that planning and we have a real clear, concrete plan in place. I'm not opposed to the idea of needing to get money if we know how it's going to get used, how it's going to get tracked, how it's going to get paid back, and the accountability in the system. But if it comes through this process, then that'll be the opportunity to make sure we have that all.
Yeah, good point.
Speaking of that fund development person, should we have that conversation?
we could go to that next. Baruti, would you like to start the discussion?
Sure. I believe the process was that it was referred back to the Finance Committee, and I mean, we're working on some great things in the work group, and a lot of them primarily focus on reducing, you know, managing costs. And, of course, anything done as it relates to programming can generate revenue. But I think we're all in agreement that raising revenue on air may have reached its peak, even with major changes in programming. I mean, I don't think that's the solution for the income side of our budget or any budget. But we need that person. We need someone that's going to work consistently full-time based in New York on off-air, generating off-air revenue. And BAI is, I mean, to me, I mean, I'm just finding it difficult that the foundation can't make a commitment to support itself, not just support BAI, because supporting BAI is supporting the foundation. I mean, obviously, if BAI continues to go in the opposite, in a negative direction, it hurts the whole foundation. So it's not only an investment in BAI, it's an investment in itself. And we're looking at a foundation with a several million dollar budget. And to me, if we can't pull together, I don't know, a commitment of $75,000 or $80,000 per year for a couple of years to support a development person for a major entity within the foundation, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to bring it back to the table because I think it's we're being, you know, the old hackneyed phrase, you know, penny wise but pound foolish. I just think that it's an investment that can only, if done right and managed properly, can only help the station and help the rest of the foundation in the long run.
This is
Dave
and Terry.
Jane, Dave, Terry.
Lonnie, I think you said most of the stations have development directors. Is it true that all but WBAI have development directors?
Yeah, most stations do.
Are there any other than BAI that do not have development directors?
KPFA doesn't currently.
KPFA, well, Limlim did hire someone to back her up on fund development, so they do have some help in that regard. And of course, she's experienced. So, yes, A does have help.
So they traditionally had a development director, but now there's just a...
I think
she's our acting general manager.
She has a part-time person helping, as I recall, fund development.
Yeah, but that's not the same as a development director.